Good evening. Nice to see everyone here this evening as we engage in another worship service to our Heavenly Father. I apologize for not having anything on the screen. The technology wouldn't allow my thumb drive to install anything, so I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way by talking to you tonight from the pulpit here. And tonight we're going to talk about a subject called resisting temptation. And in this particular lesson, I have a number of points I'd like to share with you this evening. One is that there is encouragement to those who face temptation. And that's appropriate for the Christian walk of life. And Christians should be focused on trusting in God and His Word. Another section of this particular lesson is overcoming temptation. And we have encouragements to resist temptation. Then we're going to explore some of the examples we find in the Bible with respect to how individuals were tempted and how they overcame temptation. And finally, we are going to look at the tempter tempting Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And he resisted temptation. But what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him?
Quoted scripture.
Quoted scripture, exactly. We're going to look at what he had said. And then we're going to conclude with the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So with that, what is temptation? Is being tempted a sin, Faith?
Well, it's the urge to do something that you know is not right. So that pulls you towards that.
Exactly. So temptation is not in itself a sin, but the result of that temptation will lead an individual to sin. Sin arises when the believer gives in to temptation. And the scriptures urges believers to resist temptation and gives them encouragement to face it. We may think we as Christians are strong enough to withstand the temptations of the devil, but we need to rely on God. Look to His Word so that we may be encouraged to face temptation. Each and every one of us has different temptations. Your temptation may not be similar to mine, but Satan will use in his power whatever he can to throw a stumbling block in front of a Christian. So we should be looking to Jesus for encouragement. We are engaged in the study of the harmony of the Gospels, and we are looking at what the gospel writers share with each and every one of us concerning what the Holy Spirit had inspired them to write about Jesus. And we see that Jesus dwelled among humans, and also he faced temptation. He got angry. He got upset, saying things that we undergo in our lives, but yet he overcame temptation. Can I get someone to read Romans chapter 8, verse 37, please?
But in all things, we are overwhelmingly, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us.
Thank you, Bob. And who is that him who loves us?
Jesus Christ.
That's Jesus. And what did he do for us?
He died for us.
He died. So we are encouraged in our lives to look to Jesus. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 2, verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And how do we seek God's help? What do we do in our lives?
Prayer, study.
Prayer.
Study. Study.
Study. What else that affects us on our Christian journey?
Things we do as we live our lives.
Things we do as we live our lives. Who we associate with. How we conduct our lives to display a Christ-like attitude in our life as we dwell on this earth. Faith.
Seek encouragement from our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Go to God in prayer, and he will help you. The Hebrew writer also says in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So we see that in every situation in our lives, we should go to God for assistance. Jesus undergoing the same things we've done when he dwelled on this earth. And he's experiencing that. He experienced the same things that we go through. So during our trials and tribulations, we should look to Jesus for encouragement. Also, their encouragement, we see that we are tested by our faith in various trials. And what does that produce? When we are tested during trials. Well, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So when we are tempted in various trials in our lives, our faith is being tempted, is being tested. And when we overcome those trials, it produces in our life endurance to withstand that. And the more you conquer those trials, the better off you will be in your life, in your Christian walk of life. In James, we read that Christians who persevere under trials will receive the crown of life. In James chapter 1, verse 12, can I get a volunteer to read that for me, please?
Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Thank you. So what is that crown of life?
Salvation.
What was that?
Salvation.
Salvation. What else?
Eternal
heaven. Eternal life with God. That's what each and every one of us is looking for. That crown. Just like when you run a race. What does the winner receive?
A crown.
A prize. The medal. Or whatever it is. A garment. Back in the old days. But yet, they receive a prize. And that's what we should have our sights on as Christians. Is the prize. That is eternal life. And the Lord has promised us that. And God doesn't lie. And his promises, if he says something, it will happen. We also have with us that God has given to each and every Christian is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. Can I get someone to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, please?
Second Timothy 1:14.
Yes, 2 Timothy 1:14. Chapter 1:14.
Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thank you. So the Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us. And he dwells in us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John writes, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you. And that's the Holy Spirit that he has sent than he who is in the room. So the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. And if you allow temptation to win over your life, what does that do for the Holy Spirit that dwells within you? What God had given you, his Spirit, that upsets the Spirit, that severs the relationship that you have with God. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, a spiritual separation from God. So Christians should reflect, should be reflecting and looking toward. Sorry about that. Many buttons up here. Christians should be reflecting and looking to God's word for guidance. Can I ask someone to read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, please?
What was that again?
Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 2.
My son, if you will receive my saying and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understand.
So we see that we should listen to wisdom. And how do we acquire wisdom? God's wisdom? Godly wisdom?
Study.
Incline your heart to understanding. It starts with the heart.
Exactly. It starts within yourself to accept what God has said. I always had difficulties reading the King James Bible. I still do. With these and those and thous and whatever. But when I study in the New American Standard, I understand the word. However, you have to make sure that the translators don't add stuff. So you have to look at other translations to make sure that it adheres to the original language to the best of your ability. And that's why when you study, you use a Greek text to assist you in that. And that's what I've been doing lately, because it definitely helps out. It definitely helps me understand what the writer is saying. One of the things that, as we study God's word and use it as a tool to guide us in our Christian walk of life, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. How can you apply that to your life? What do you do when you're tempted?
Taking a lot of praying.
Yeah. What else can we do as Christians?
Whatever is appropriate at the time. Whatever is appropriate at the time, it may be getting up and leaving.
Exactly. It may be getting up and leaving. Another factor would be seek assistance from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask for help to overcome something. It's fair.
Sometimes it's a simple no.
Exactly. Sometimes it's saying no to the situation. Sometimes it's difficult. Even when you're young, you have peer pressure. Even when us today, we have peer pressure. We don't succumb to that.
I think it was Jerry Bassett. Somebody said, you know, you study and you look ahead. You know you're going to be faced with certain temptations, and you have your answer ready.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared. And one way of being prepared is studying, reflecting on God's word, praying about it, meditating on the word of God. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And why should we do that? What's the end result, Carol?
Makes more Christ-like.
Makes us Christ-like. Exactly. That's the attitude each and every one of us should have. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, We're to be flee from these things. You man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of every witness, of many witnesses. When Paul says flee from these things, he's referring to earthly things, money, wealth, and things that will draw us away from God. But pursue what is right. Pursue what is godly. Be faithful to the Lord. Love. Persevere in all times of trials. And be gentle and kind. Qualities that I know I have to work on. We all do. Because God expects the best we have to our ability to show others the mind of Christ in our lives. James says in chapter 4 and verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's an admonition that should encourage each and every one of us. First of all, be obedient to God in all aspects of your life. Put him first so that you can be approved of him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't give Satan the opportunity to tempt you beyond what you could stand. Make sure you submit to God. When we talk a little bit about overcoming temptation is through prayer. Can I get a volunteer to read Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9, please?
And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands and two feet and be cast in eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from the yoke. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire.
Right, so he's saying, make sure your members of your body don't cause you to sin. And in the Gospel of Matthew, in verse 26, he hits the nail on the head in verse 41. And he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to be on our guard. Make sure our members of our body don't cause us to sin. And we do that by praying. Keep watch and make sure you don't enter temptation. Another way of overcoming temptation would be through personal discipline. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 and verse 4, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. How does that affect us today? Let's reflect upon the first century Christians and what they encountered in their lives. They were tortured, they were beaten, they were even killed. But did they deny God? No. That's the attitude that they had. And that's the attitude we should emulate in our lives. And Peter shares with us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position.
Thank you, Vicky. So we have to be on our guard at all times. That's personal discipline. That's how we as Christians grow. That's how we as Christians fight Satan. If sin is enticing you, what should you do? Faith said it before. Say no. Don't consent to that. And in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 10, we read, my son, if sin is enticing you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, don't do that. Walk away. Sometimes it's difficult to walk away in situations. But other times, it's not. If we stand fast to be good soldiers in the army of Jesus. Paul says we should present our lives to God as alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Can I get someone to read Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, please?
Did you say Romans 6?
Yes, verses 12 through 14.
Okay. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments in righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Thank you, Di. So we see that we were once dead. We were all sinners, and we were separated from God. That severed our relationship with God. So we're alive again as his children, and we shouldn't fall back on sin and be tempted. And we have God's grace as a means to help us. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. What does that mean to you? How do we apply that to our lives? Dean?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, if I'm in temptation, I need to turn to my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But my brothers and sisters need to know me. We have to have a relationship. And I have to know that they care about me so that when they come to me and try to help me keep my life going, I'm receptive to those types of things. So, it's a building of a relationship prior to the problem.
Mm-hmm. And those who are spiritual help those who are weak. And as Dean had indicated, we have to work at those relationships. We have to know our brothers and sisters. We have to not alienate ourselves from them, but be a part of their Christian walk of life. That's important. We have to pray for them. We have to encourage each other. We have to help them in their times of trouble. We have to show compassion. We have to show love. We have to help to the best we can. And that's important. And as Dean had indicated, if we don't have a relationship, if we just come here Sunday mornings and that's it, what kind of relationship is that with your brothers and sisters, with your spiritual family? I'm at fault. We're all at fault. We should be working at that to better our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. And how do we do that? We live in a world that's chaotic, that's filled with all sorts of garbage. We see that even in this town, Eugene. So how do we abstain from every form of evil? How would you abstain from every form of evil? Carol?
Well, the first thing is you have to identify what God is telling you is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things are really easy to say, oh, I won't do that, or why I won't do that. You know, that's easy. But there are other things that are more difficult. And like Faye said, Jerry Bassett once said, if you look at it, well, I'm not going to put myself in this tempting situation. Like, he used to go hunting all the times, and the guys used to do a lot of drinking, but he knew ahead of time that that was something he wasn't going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he prepared himself ahead of time to have the right answer, so that, and maybe more than one answer, to tell the guys that you go right ahead, I'm not going to do that. So.
And another way I used to do it, don't go with that girl. That's the easiest way of doing it. What examples can we find of people in the Bible? Who can tell me about Joseph and Potiphar's wife?
He fled.
And we find that in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 10. Can I get a volunteer to read that? Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 10.
It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he's put all that he owns in my charge. There's no one greater in his house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? More.
First day.
As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her.
Thank you, Faith. So we see that we go back to the Old Testament and we read an example of an individual who said no. He knew it was wrong, and he said no. And that got him in a lot of trouble. We read later on in Genesis. Okay, we don't have time to explore that. When we look at Job, he didn't blame God for all these troubles. He said in verse 1 of Job, in verse 22, therefore all this Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. In chapter 2, in verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Another example we have concerning not to blame God. What did Daniel do when the king said, you have to eat certain foods and wine?
He went to the person who was in charge, and he told them, this is what we want to do. And the person in charge says, oh, no, you'll waste away. And he said, give me 1 week. Let me show you that we won't. And he ate acceptable food and proved his point to the person who was in charge.
Exactly. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. So we have examples in the Old Testament that should help us, guide us in our journey so that we won't be tempted. And Jesus was tempted. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is so powerful, using scripture to make sure that you stand fast. And Jesus did that. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And how did Jesus respond? In verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, quoting scripture. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left. And behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. He quoted scripture. I'm not good at quoting scripture. I don't want to quote scripture and leave something out. That's why I like to use my Bible all the time. But it's important that you immerse yourself in the study so that you can be approved of God. You can show God you know what his word says, and you are going to use that when Satan comes to curse. And finally, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Can I get a volunteer to read that scripture? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22.
Flee from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Thank you, Vicki. So flee from your youthful lusts, and we should pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, it's the attitude we have to emulate Jesus in our lives. So resisting temptation is something that affects each and every one of us in our lives. And it's up to you and I to go to God's Word and make sure that's part of your life. We pray for God's wisdom. We meditate on His Word so that we can grow stronger and resist Satan in all that he tries to take us away from the Lord. If you're not a Christian tonight, we'd like to invite you to come forward to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and turn away from your sins and be baptized into the body of the Lord. And if you are a child of God who is struggling with your Christian walk of life, we are here to help you, pray with you, and assist you in any way.